The Office for Budget Responsibility says will mean more people being dragged into higher brackets as their earnings rise. Meanwhile, reforms to non-dom status and an extension of oil and gas windfall taxes were similar policies to Labour's. In Grimsby, these voters are not impressed.
He could have delivered that speech probably in half the time. In terms of content, no rabbit out of the hat, no surprises.
Well, I definitely thought it was the last-ditch attempt from the Tories. There wasn't a minute where Jeremy Hunt wasn't trying to score points, and it almost just looked a bit pathetic.
But Mr. Hunt argues he's cut personal taxes to their lowest level in almost 50 years.
We can now help families not just with temporary cost of living support, but with permanent cuts in taxation.
Nikki Haley's pulled out of the race to become US president, guaranteeing November's election will be a rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. She'd been Mr. Trump's final rival for the Republican ticket.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
She wished Donald Trump well, but stopped short of endorsing him. A woman's been remanded in custody, charged with murdering her 10-year-old daughter in the West Midlands. Shay Kang's body was found in a house on Monday. Tesco says it's cutting the price of baby formula, following the example of Iceland. The Competition and Markets Authority started a study into the supply of the product after finding two companies dominated the market last autumn. Former Chelsea and Everton boss Carlo Ancelotti has been accused of tax fraud totaling 1 million euros in Spain. Prosecutors say the current Real Madrid manager used shell companies to hide parts of his income. That's the latest. I'm Tim Jones.
Thanks, Tim.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Tonight will be cool and dry as the weather will start to clear and the clouds will begin to disappear, maybe with some light showers later, with some patchy mist and fog at lows of 3.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Drive on Phoenix FM, brought to you in association with St. Francis Hospice, doing more than you think.
A faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack, yeah. I'm heading down the Atlanta highway, looking for the love getaway, headed for the love getaway.
I got me a car, it's as big as a whale, and we're heading
that song. If you're at a wedding, right, and that doesn't come on, then the wedding isn't good. That's all I'm going to say out there. Do you agree, Emily? That's a good song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Emily, you're our media student who's coming in every other Wednesday now, aren't you?
For, yeah, every other Wednesday.
And unfortunately for you, you're training with me, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, so you're having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning a lot, hopefully, as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, learning loads.
Yeah. So what do you hope to do when you're ready to sort of, like, leave school and stuff like that?
Thinking film, production, radio, sort of that side of stuff.
Okay. I'm glad you said radio in it, because I thought I might have put you off of that.
Yeah. not radio.
All right, Emily. Right, well, now we're going to be playing a track from Brother Beyond with The Harder I Try. Can you remember what year it was? Everybody loved him. What's his name? Nathan Moore, wasn't it, at that time? Oh, it's taking me back. Now, talking about taking us back, actually, we're going to be finding out what Chrissie Hynde's first ever gig was, who they went to see. And I'll be playing two tracks coming up very, very soon. But before then, I'm going to play one that actually reminds me of a local chip shop. It's Mark Ronson featuring Lily Allen with Oh My God.
I'll get right back up again. I'll come back stronger than a powered up Pac-Man. It don't matter to me, 'cause all I wanted to be was a million miles from here, somewhere more familiar.
Talking at home, as I say, that actually does remind me of my local fish and chip shop. It is called Oh My Cod. It's a great name, Emily, isn't it, right?
Yeah, actually, it's really good.
That's really made you chuckle, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I like it.
I'm glad I've made someone laugh today, to be fair. Right, shall we have a look, see what's going on with the events?
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
On the 18th of March, we have a talk by Jacqueline Avalet at the Chantry Centre, where she talks about plant origins, history and cultivation. This is from 8 to 10pm at £3 per visitor. If you're interested in this, go to phoenixfm.com for more information.
Phoenix FM's Events Guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Cotfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Now, after the ads, we'll be hearing from Pretenders with Don't Get Me Wrong. We'll be finding out what Chrissy Hynde's first ever gig was. I'll be playing that band straight after the Pretenders.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do, if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy, whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0776 009 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leyalina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
I've seen the online
So, Chrissie Hynde's very first gig that she ever went to was in 1966. And yeah, she saw the Stones. Who believed that? There you go. Right, now let's have a look at the travel for you. Remember, around 4:30, we will be speaking to Fatima Whitbread, MBE, about Fatima's UK campaign. I cannot wait to talk to her about this. Right, now let's have a look at the travel.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Well, on the M11 northbound, that traffic is still being held between Junction 7A, that's Harlow North, and Junction 8. On the A120 at Stansted, right now, Hadley as well, slow traffic there. On London Road eastbound, A13 between Rayleigh Road and Eastwood Road. In Danbury, slow traffic on Main Road, A414 eastbound between Well Lane and Baddow Road. Now, on the A1023, there's slow approaching the M25 on Junction 28. It's looking really sticky there. Now, closer to home in Billericay, slow traffic on the High Street between Sun Street and Western Road. And also in Canvey Island, slow traffic on London Road, A130 westbound between Furtherwick Road and Canvey Road. Now, the tunnels at Dartford, they're not looking too bad, to be fair, at the moment. Yes, about 10 minutes travel time coming from Kent back into Essex. And in Brentwood, slow traffic on Ongar Road, Sheffield Road and Ingrave Road towards the High Street at Wilson's Corner. Now, let's head over to the Tube. Still minor delays on the District Line, Turnham Green and Richmond due to points failure, and Underground Station is still closed on the Northern Line at Kentish Town due to engineering works. But you know what? Not too bad. Great service throughout the rest and the network. There'll be more from me in an hour. Now, here's Lewis Capaldi with Strangers, and then after that, we'll be talking to the inspiring Fatima Whitbread MBE.
We were strangers at the bar, they were playing Wonderwall. I overheard you say you hate this song. Next thing I knew, I'm walking over, came and tapped you on your shoulder. Said, my dear, you're not the only one. Spent the night there at my place, that night became 100 days. And I shared all my deepest secrets with you. Soon enough, well, I found out you're something I can't live without. And every time I close my eyes, I miss you. And I know I waited all my life just to fall for someone like you. In the blink of an eye, it all fell through. I can't even lie, I'm not doing well. Waking up with the you, sleeping by myself, alone in our room. All your stuff is gone. Yeah, I'm standing still here while you're moving on. When my world would tear into, you were who I ran into. Now I can't even call or call you my friend. Oh darling, it's strange, cause you and I are strangers all over again. Hearts a mess and heads ablaze. The nights become the start of days. And I've been drinking just to get me through. It's funny how you love someone, and when it's over, said and done, it's almost like you never even knew. And I know I waited all my life just to fall for someone like you. In the blink of an eye, it all fell through. I can't even lie, I'm not doing well. Waking up without you, sleeping by myself, alone in our room. All your stuff is gone. Yeah, I'm standing still here while you're moving on. When my world would tear into, you were who I ran to. Now I can't even call or call you my friend. Oh darling, it's strange, cause you and I are strangers all over again. All over again. Now I know I'll be waiting all my life for someone like you. I can't even lie, I'm not doing well. Waking up without you, sleeping by myself.
is Lewis Capaldi. Our favourite Scottish boy, I think. Oh, well, mine anyway. I won't get anyone else in trouble for saying that. That was Lewis Capaldi and Strangers. Now, my guest today is world javelin champion, world record holder and twice Olympic medalist. And, of course, sports personality of the year. So happy to introduce you to Fatima Whitbread, MBE, who is here to talk about Fatima's UK campaign. Fatima, how many times have I said that? Thanks for joining us on Phoenix FM.
Thanks, Jo. It's lovely to be here, actually, to share this platform with you. So thanks for inviting me. And, for most people out there that don't know who I am, obviously, I mean, I spent the first 14 years of my life in children's homes. I was abandoned as a baby and some would say left to die. A neighbour heard a baby crying and hadn't seen anybody coming or going to the flat. So she called the police. They came and banged the door down, rescued the baby, which was myself. And then I was made a ward of court by Hackney Borough Council and then spent the next 14 years of my life in children's homes. So today, obviously, Fatima's UK campaign, as you rightly said, is my ministry today. And that's to help try to rejuvenate the care system sector and to help what I would say is our most vulnerable children and young people in society today. And try to give them better outcomes, put them on their path, you know, to reach their full potential and hopefully, bring in a whole lot of new businesses into the care system sector to help employability and give these children, you know, make a big difference in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, you've been, like, really honest and open and really are changing people's lives, and a lot of people can relate to it. And obviously, you more than anyone else can understand how these kids feel, right? Because with your lived experience, right? So, I mean, growing up in care as well, I mean, did you stay in the same home or were you different homes? Or
no, back in the 60s, it was a lot different then, Joe. I mean, the first children's home that I was moved to was in Hertfordshire in Ware. And it was Hoddesdon, actually. Yeah. And there was 20 children there from 0 to 5 years old. And I can honestly say that we really didn't... I mean, the matron who worked there was very perfunctionary. We had young children, students, a little bit like this young lady here today, sitting with us, who's work experience. They were very good, but obviously there's a difference between, you know... children that come from the care system sector to those in conventional families, the big difference is that they don't have mum and dad, they don't have the love and the comfort that these children desire when growing up, and they come with a particular set of issues, obviously through the no fault of their own, because they've been put into the care system. Some have experienced awful experiences of mental and physical and sexual abuse. Unfortunately, I was one of those, and I can remember playing in the front room of the children's home, and it faced the car park, and anybody that came into the car park, I'd always say, "Is that my mummy coming to get me?"
Oh.
And this is what happens with young children, sadly. You know, it's very, very difficult, I think, for them to process what's going on. And back then in the 60s, children should be seen and not heard. So there was very little, shared with us in terms of why we were there. And we felt that we'd done something wrong or, you know, there's a great deal of what I call abandonment and a neglect of a sense of, you know, emotional trauma that ran through that household.
Wow. Because I suppose the other kids that were there, or especially the ones around your age, I suppose you looked at them like family yourself, right? And so I suppose it wasn't taken into consideration when you was just like upheaved and moved elsewhere, right? So it's like tearing you away from a family
everything
that
we
grew.
Ever know. I mean, that's the real big problem with today's young people that live in the care system, in residentials or in foster care even. I mean, it's really important that we support our foster carers as well. And there's a lot of good foster carers out there that need extra additional support, I think, with regard to these young people, because, yes, I mean, as I said, they have traumas and triggers, and I think they need to be trained, some of the foster carers, in the way of trauma, because it's very hard. You know, they start out with good intentions, and 6 months down the road, they're struggling to deal with it. So we need to give them more support. There's nothing better than you can give for a young child is the love and security of a home. And as you rightly said, when they are constantly being moved, and this is sometimes a breakdown in relationships with foster carers because of that reason I just explained, or, you know, the fact that they've been taken away from their home, rightly so in many occasions, you know, they need to be protected. But we need to keep them, you know, we get back to community spirit, you know, where the local authorities have their own residentials, keep them in the area that they've grown up in. So, okay, whilst they're being removed from family, but they're still not going to be hopefully removed from the school and everything they know and love, yeah. you know, within their friendships and their clubs.
Yeah.
I think this is continuity is what these young people need, and stability.
Mm.
And I think we need to get back to doing that and working more in our communities to provide this.
Basically get back to basics, really. That's what you're saying, right? Because, as you say, a functional family, as you say, or a family that, normal family, I've never meant any, to be fair. Not normal ones, anyway.
Well, we all have those. I mean, look, even conventional families have difficulties. We know there's 4.2 million people living in poverty as we speak.
Yeah.
There's 800,000 families that live on the food banks. We've got currently 110,000 children in the care system, and we've got a shortage of 10,500 of foster carers. And we know by 2026 there's going to be a 26% shortage.
Yeah.
There's really not a lot out there for our young people, our care leavers. We need to do a lot more. We need to get back to community-based events.
Yeah.
Things cost far too much, you know, in terms of being able to give a sense of belonging for our young people. We know that 27% of our young people under 21-year-olds have in prison today, have crossed the path of care system. And a lot of that is because there's not a lot of out there for them. They get targeted, they get groomed, they have, you know, to them it's a sense of belonging.
Mm.
And we need to get back to doing programs. And one of the things that Fatima's UK campaign's doing is working in collaboration with, in partnerships with the England Football League Trust,
right.
and also the London clubs, Joe Lyons, who I've been speaking to, with the safeguarding team, with all the London clubs at West Ham, and all these local authorities, you know, getting these young children into working programs, into sport. Sport, there's an amazing power, you know, it gives them a chance to learn about life skills, dedicating themselves, time, scheduling, you know, connecting with people in the community. And also we have been working with Sir Mark Rowley and the Metropolitan Police, and in fact most of all the boroughs now are starting to follow that program and working together, getting to know who these children are within their communities and understanding the difficulties of you know, is happening with these young people. And you know, the whole thing really is all about collaboration and partnerships. It is so doable,
yet
we make it so difficult, and I don't understand that.
Again, back to basics, right? Working within the local community. We've all know partnerships. We have loads of people that we can meet up that can help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things to do. But again, you say it's the support network that the kids leave. I mean, you know, if everyone that I know actually that's got kids in the mid-20s are still kind of living at home there as well, you know? So,
let's talk about that too, because when you look at it, I mean, most conventional families, again, their children are around about 25 to 30 before they leave home. I mean, housing is a problem.
Yeah.
And these people, you know, these young people are finding it difficult anyway. I mean, care leavers are made to leave at 18.
Mm.
Now, that's a massive growth spurt in terms of, you know, self-development, you know, and academically, you know, a lot of these young children are too emotionally disturbed to worry about studying with their school subjects, because they're constantly being besieged by, you know, you've got to get ready, you're going to be moved, you're moved constantly from one care home to another or foster parent. And then, of course, it's all about you've got to get ready because you're going to go and live independently at 18. Well, there's a massive difference between, like I said, 18 to 25s in conventional families, where and when they leave home in conventional families, they've still got mum and dad, they've still got nan and grand and aunts and uncles, whereas a lot of these young children have nobody.
No support
at all around them. And that's another thing what Fatima's UK campaign is all about, in bringing the summit together next year, and to bring what I call a nationalistic framework to bring the four nations together to practice good practice and good shared ideas and improving the outcomes for our young people from the minute they come into the care system, throughout the care system, and then of course once they leave the care system, bridging that gap, you know, into employment. Because it's one thing saying you're independent living and being able to live an independent life itself, you know, and we know 33% of these young people end up on the streets, homeless.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, you know, that, you know, so many people out there, you know, are working and are unaware of what's going on. And I'd just like to say, by the end of Fatima's UK campaign and the summit of April 2025, yeah, I'm hopeful that we're going to have a whole lot more people aboard. Yeah. Because just if you're listening, ask yourself one question. Mm-hmm. If it was somebody you knew and loved, would you want them to be on their own, feeling invisible, not heard, not seen, not mm-hmm. valued? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really what we're doing. We're brushing this situation yeah. under the carpet, and it's got to stop. We've got to have change. We've got to look to these children because they're yeah. our future, you know. And if what they become, you know, the early help that they get from us, the early intervention side, will define who and what they become, and yeah. also what society becomes.
And there are more and more kids as well actually needing help because they are within care, and this is another issue as well, right? So mm-hmm. it's having the support network, and it's having the council to have enough money so that they
yeah,
can...
corporate parenting.
There you go.
Corporate totally. Parenting is really important, but mm. at the same time, I have to ask myself sometimes why it is they don't own their own residentials. Because as these young children come out, have to come into the care system sector, they should have their own residentials so they can hold them there, assess them there, and not interrupting their schooling. They're not moving in and chucking their responsibilities to mm-hmm. the private sector and these bigger charities that then house them somewhere else, mm. you know, and away, long way away from their families, their friends, their education. The education's curriculum is different in all parts of the country, so yeah. often these young people miss out on large chunks of their education too. Mm. It's shameful that in a day and age, like I've said, you know, we're the fifth biggest economy in the world, and yet we can't stop this thing from happening, you know. Yeah. We need to start investing more into our children. Ask yourself this, if you're listening, morally and ethically, what can you do to help our mm. young children and improve our young children's lives and outcomes? You don't have to go to the other side of the country. Look to your own community, and if we all start to work and in our own communities and support one another, we'll be so much better for it. There are a lot of charities out there, a lot of people doing a lot of good work. We just need to be able to enable them to carry on that good work by supporting them within our own community.
Mm. Do you know what? We've got elections and that coming up. You ever thought of getting into politics? Because I know who I'd love to vote for, to be fair.
It's a passion of mine. It's very yeah. close to my heart, dearly. You know, and obviously I want to see change come about. It's not before time. Mm. 60 years since I was in the care system sector, and I can't see a huge amount has changed, not at the legislative level. Mm. And whilst the Fatima's UK campaign is non-political, we still have to have cross-party support, and we still want to be driven to making change, legislatively speaking,
yeah.
Through working together in partnerships with our larger charities, which is the Children at the Round Table, which I've been spending much of my time now going around talking to Barnardo's, NSPCC, Children's Bureau, Children's Society, and Action for Children, who I'm also an ambassador for. So it's really important because it's the ground floor level of which I'm concerned for in terms of the children care system, because they're the ones that get drained often, and I think we need to look at bringing back resources in another way through bringing in private companies and ring-fencing them sure. to help in many different ways for apprenticeships for our young children, you know, aspirational days. Mm. It's not just about a one-off. It's about building happier futures, yeah. better lives and a nicer kind of society.
Wow. Okay. Well, look, do you know what? We're going to take a quick break. I've got loads to ask you still. I could just talk to you all day. But I asked you what song you'd like. I know what it is, obviously, because I've got it lined up for yeah. you, Fatima. But what is it and why did you choose it?
Well, this has always been a family song. I mean, as I say, I lived in the care system for 14 years, and then I found the love of the Whitbreads through sport. Sport was my saviour. And the song that I always relate to for the family is "You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me," which is Gladys Knight and the Pips.
And downs, but fate's been kind
say that I've been lucky. Well, I guess you could say that it's all because of you. If anyone should ever write my life story,
and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Right, so we're back here now on Phoenix FM, Drive with me, Joe Bailey. And I guess today, the inspiring, as I said earlier, Fatima Whitbread MBE, here to talk about, and have a look on the website now if you want to, fatimascampaign.com. It's as easy as that. It can't be. That's a great website to have there. So easy to remember, Fatima. But listen, can we go back to kind of your childhood and kind of how you got into sport? Because there's always, I think, with children that if you're lucky enough, you've got a mentor or somebody that can actually direct you in the right direction, essentially.
Oh, absolutely. It's so important for young children. Everybody needs a role model. We all need that. I mean, but more so than, you know, with children in the care system, because, you know, often, you know, they're missing mum and dad, the guidance of a loving family. So somebody who they can connect to, whether it be a PE teacher, whether it be a house auntie like I did with Auntie Ray. Auntie Ray was my bright, shining star. I can remember vividly that Auntie Ray would, she was an East End girl, and she was very cheerful with us kids. And I can remember I used to call her the tickle monster. And the reason for that was because I'd used to wait in bed when she was on duty in the mornings, and I'd hide under the bed sheet, and I wouldn't get out until she tickled me and got me up. So just as well she has done. Otherwise I'd still be there now.
Yeah.
No, but so she was my bright shining star, and a lot of the kiddies in the house bright shining star. And I always used to run up to the staircase when I knew she went off duty, and I could hear her clip-clopping down the road, and I'd look out the window and peer down the road, and I saw she would live on the end of on the corner of that road. And one day I'd during the springtime I'd picked all these daffodils, and I went down to her house and I hid them behind my back, and when I knocked on the door and she opened the door, I presented them to her and I said, "Will you be my mummy?" Yeah, and she said, "Oh, Fats," she said, "look," she said, "come round the back and we'll talk about this."
Oh.
I kind of thought, I'm going to be in trouble here. But she sat me down in her kitchen and she gave me a cup of tea and a biscuit. And she said, "Fats," she said, "let me tell you," she said, "I can't just be your mummy," she said, "because I have to be mummy to all those children in the home." She said, "but here's the thing," she said, "I can't always be there and you are," she said, "so why don't you be there, mummy, when I'm not there?" And so this taught me two really important things, Joe. The first one was I loved it because I was able to support and care for those children in the home.
Yeah.
And in giving, you receive. You know, they gave me the love back.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I'd step up and call any injustice, which they were at times in the home, and just be there for them, you know, and look after them. Often they would rock themselves to sleep crying or wet the bed. You know, they needed help, and I would be there to do it. And then, of course, there's the other side of that, was it swiveled the lens. Mm. It stopped me from being focused on myself, which is what a lot of the young children in the care system do. They get trapped up here in their head. They imprison themselves. They punish themselves. They blame themselves. And the great thing is I never did that, and I never grew up feeling victimized. And to this day, you know, I'm always for the underdog, always like to call out injustice. Always like to be true to myself by my values and beliefs, and you know, it's that's a great thing that it taught me, you know, and she was a wonderful role model. And of course I can remember also playing sport at school, and I would always be very struggle with my academic work because emotionally, like a lot of the young children in the care system, you know, they're worrying and upset and, of course, feeling traumatized. Very hard to concentrate on your work.
Mm.
And so I found myself best in my authentic self is doing sport, because it was a sense of freedom. And it was something I could forget about all the cares in the world, about the problems that were going on in my life. And it also earned me respect from my peers and teachers. It stopped getting the rubber board thrown at me.
So there's the link there then. That's
That was, again, look, here's a couple of things. There's so many misconceptions with children in the care system. A lot of people seem to think, oh, these kids in the home, they're naughty. They're there because they're naughty. And that's not the case.
No,
you know, like
no.
I said, they find themselves there through no fault of their own. And then, of course, misconceptions with foster care. You know, can I foster if I'm a single parent? And the answer is yes. Or can I foster if I'm same-sex? Mm-hmm. The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And can I foster if I'm disabled? Well, of course, because there are so many families out there that are either disabled or same-sex. They're all, you know, having families now, you know, and even those that work full-time. You know, that often 90% of those families, conventional families, have to work full-time, but that doesn't stop them from having a family. So why not think about it? If you want to foster, you couldn't have a much more rewarding job and giving the love and security of a child like that.
And you get support as well as a foster parent,
yes,
as well.
It is a paid job, and you do get support. But don't go into it just looking at it as a paid job. Because your heart's open and you want to, you know, give that child the best opportunity that you can give, like any child, really. Mm. The best thing you can give is the love and security of a home.
Sure. That's key, as you said, though. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around the whole caring system throughout, really, especially regarding fostering and what you can and can't do, or who you can be and who you can't be. Mm, so,
exactly.
As you say, just there's always fostering events going on in local councils. Just go on, give them a little bell and go along to one of the events.
Go along, Google it. There's not much you can't find on Google these days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's so many people people out there. I mean, I've recently been talking to Lawrence Dallaligo, who's the rugby player, and his mum adopted two children.
Wow.
Also, Edward Timpson, Timpson Shoes, you know, repairers. His mum, they fostered 92 children.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing. And there's so many wonderful people out there, you know, that, you know, could... offer a home that are lonely, and perhaps they've got empty nest syndrome, or they've got a room in their house, you know, where they could, you know, have a child, you know, and help them. You know, it is such a wonderful, rewarding job to do. You know, so don't just think about it; take the step and do it.
That's amazing.
You know? And for me, again, you know, it's you know, we've been in school, as I said, sport was my saviour, and sometimes a lot of kids get, back in the 60s, we got, like, discriminated against. That was, you know, the norm, really. I mean, intervention is really important nowadays, and learning to get the kids, you know, to be as one at school. But I can remember whenever we got free school dinners, we would get teased mercifully, you know, bullied.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to go around the back of the bike shed and pay penny up the wall and try and earn my money that way, you know, and pay for my school lunch and my friend who lived in a children's home around the corner. There was always, it always taught you to be a survivor, you know, and be, you know, very feisty and stand up for your rights.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Oh, you see what I mean? Emily, there's so much we can talk about.
Yeah.
There's so much. But can I ask you, there's a question I've always wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm being really selfish now, making it all about me. Why the jab? What made you think, oh, this is the thing for me? This is me. This is part of me. It's my third arm.
Well, Joe, I mean, it was through netball. I mean, it was the last match of the netball season at school, and we were playing for the cup. And if we were to win it, we were going to get a medal. And I said to Auntie Ray, if I win, I want you to have this medal, Auntie, because she's like my mum, I wanted, you know. And, of course, this match meant a lot to me. And I was always team captain, so I'd motivate my team. I'd get them to the school practices. And during the matches, I'd, you know, be quite motivated, and my voice would always rise above the level. And the match was going 11-11, 12-11, and the whistle went and the umpire said, "Young lady, any more noise like that and you'll be off." And I kind of looked and I thought, "Was she being for real or what?" So I then started, it was going 12-all, 13-12, 13-all, and I was like getting motivated, and my voice was rising above the level again, and the whistle went. She said, "I've told you once." She said, "If I have to tell you anymore, you'll be off." And of course, I turned, I muttered to myself, and her team captain said, "Fats, don't, she's really strict, she will send you off."
Oh.
Well, you know, at the end of the match, we won. Yay! But that was the end of the netball season, and it was the start of the athletic season. And I said to my friend Alma, who lived around the corner in the children's home, "Alma, let's go to the local track, Blackshots, you know, and we'll go and see what's going on there for track and field." And as we pulled up to the gates, Alma saw the sprinters in the far side, and she went off there. And I saw this really tall, blonde, good-looking fella throwing what looked like a spear, and I thought, "Oh, he looks nice, I'll go over there." And as I walked over there, I saw a javelin on the floor. I went to pick it up, and he sort of said, "You can't do that." So I sort of went, "Why is that?" And then he said to the shot put coach behind the javelin runway, and Jack Green, he said, "Young lady, come and sit in the stand. You'll have to wait for the javelin coach to come before you can throw any javelins here." So I said, "Well, where is this javelin coach then?" He said, "Don't worry, she'll be here soon. Come and sit in the stand." So as I sat in the stand, I was sort of toe-tapping, you know, like all the kids in the care system, you're very feisty, you're, you know, standing up for your own rights all the time. And then Jack said, "Oh, here comes the javelin coach." And this mini pulled up really fast into the car park. And as this person walked across the infield, I went, did a double take. "That's that same woman on the netball court. Oh, my God." And as she got over to the stand, Jack went to introduce us, and she said, "I know who you are." She said, "You're Fatima." She said, "Well, let me tell you, young lady, any of that cheek I saw on the netball court," she said, "it won't be having any, throwing any javelins here." Oh. So I sort of cupped my hands and said, "I promise I'll behave myself, you know."
Yeah.
But, as the story goes on, know, because it does go on. If you want to interrupt me and put another track on, you
well,
do that.
I'll tell you what I've got to do. I've actually got to go to the news. Look, I've been enjoying it so much, I've not even looked at the time. I've got about 25 seconds. We've got the news, but we will come back with Fatima, because I want to find the end of the story and, of course, find out how you can help as well with Fatima's UK campaign. So coming up now, we've got the news.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.